Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another show here of Shredding Metal Beasts with your host, I, Baron Craze. This marks the third show, and I'd like to thank the fans out there because we're gaining attention. We're gaining more bands who are signing up to have the music played on the show. That's really great for everybody. Basically, all the bands have given me permission to play their music. So if you came here looking for Overkill, Obituary, Anthrax, Slayer, those types, I don't have access to that music, and I will not play it without permission. The bands deserve their rights, too. So tonight we're going to be featuring a lot of metal music and some hard rock thrown in there. Our first block is going to be about 21 minutes of music, and around 11:30 we're going to have Tracy Byrd of Gathering of None. The first live interview the show is going to be having. Hopefully we'll have some more of those. So definitely enjoy this first segment, and it's about 21 minutes, and it's going to be very loud and nasty. Enjoy. We'll be right back.
Back, no, I am the predator. Yeah.
All right. That was pretty cool, wasn't it? So we had there five bands that played. And we're basically going to just go through a couple things. Going to try slow to look down this time. Some people told me it was a little too fast last week. This takes a little time to get used to doing this. A lot of you know that I do a horror show on Friday nights. And that's pretty much just all talking. There is no music that plays. So this takes a little time to get a rhythm down. As one artist once just recently told me, the biggest thing you got to do is get yourself out there on that kind of stage and you just go for it. First 10 shows of any little tour, always going to be stumbling blocks, always going to be something. So I'm just going to go through this a little bit slower this time. So if you're all there and listening, and just bear with me as I try to figure this thing out. So first up we have Sophisticator. It was off the CD Camping in the Vein track, Burn the Stakes on the Fire. And I don't think they really mean. Oh, wait a minute. I've got a caller on the line here. Let's see who this is. Okay. Hello?
Hello? Yeah.
Yes, who is it?
Hi, my name is Jeff. Great. I'm calling from Oregon.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. No, yourself?
Doing it. It's the first time on the show.
Negra! 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 Negra!
Well, it looks like we had an ass who decided to call in. How nice. I don't know what that was all about, and I do apologize to the listeners, but I guess they had some fun with themselves. It sounded like they were some racist term, so I do apologize to all the listeners out there. Back to where I was, Sophisticator. So the track was Burn the Stakes in the Fire, but if you've seen their album covers, I really don't think they're talking about a regular piece of steak, maybe human flesh. It's off the ebmrecords.com, and it's on Facebook. They're on Facebook, and they're from Florence, Italy. Wow, nice band from a good holy city. How nice. Moving along, we had Aggression. They're from Spain. Wow, a lot of European bands there. Got thrash metal, and they're intense. You got to face it, folks. They are seriously nuts. The song was called Chaos Anatomy. You can find them on Facebook. You can also find them at the website, which is www.aggression.es. And you can also find their music on Amazon. All right, we got somebody else on the line now. Now, I really, I don't know what to expect half the time with these calls. So we're going to let it go, and we're going to see who it is. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, man?
Is this Tracy?
It is. I call it a bit early. Just in case.
That's okay. That's fine. It actually helps. We just had, a prank caller on the line and basically decided to do some racist terms. So I'm apologizing to the crowd. I do hopefully apologize to you, too, for that outburst from a nutcase. Oh, good.
It happens.
I wasn't really going to worry that much. So, Tracy, you have a new band. Would you like to tell the audience about that?
Okay, well, the band's called A Gathering of None, and we are, I don't really say we're based anywhere. I mean, I'm based near Boston, Massachusetts, about 45 minutes south of there, and the rest of the guys are kind of scattered all over. We have our drummer, Chris, lives in Virginia, where I'm originally from. He lives there. Our guitar player, Justin, lives in San Antonio, Texas, and our bass player, Doug, lives in New Jersey there. So we're kind of scattered. So, I mean, that's kind of why it takes us a bit longer than the average band to get some stuff going on. But, initially it was just myself, which is why the band was called A Gathering of None originally, because I thought it was kind of clever, to call the band that, because it was just me doing everything on the first EP. I did all the instruments and all the vocals. But as time went on, I just kind of realized that I'm going to be limited as to what I could do as far as bass and drums and whatnot, because, my thing's always been guitar and vocals. So, while I have that on lockdown, I said, eventually my limitations in bass and drums are going to show. So now we have guys, that play with me, and we're a quartet, as it were, now. So everybody asks now, well, what's the name mean now? What's the point behind the Gathering of None? And, you know, I like to think of it as we don't have a genre, you know. It's a gathering of a bunch of genres, but we don't have one specific thing that we do.
No, I can understand that. I mean, to me, music, you know, crosses all genres. I mean, if you took the band Trans-Siberian Orchestra, was it metal, jazz, blues, opera, classical? I mean, there is no boundaries to music.
That's the thing,
so,
you know, a good song is a good song.
No, I totally agree. Now, with the band being all spread out, how does that help with, does that help or hinder the music creation, if you would?
9 times out of 10, traditionally, as it's gone, we've not been a band yet for almost 2 years now. We've been around, but Thorne, I just kind of demo songs out here by myself at home, and I send them off to the rest of the guys, and, you know, I'm like, does this sound good as it is, or can you add something here, or if you want to add something, you know, to it, feel free, send it back to me, and we'll go from there. You know, being all spread out, we don't have the luxury of just, you know, living, you know, 10, 20 minutes from one another and, you know, getting together in a rehearsal room and, you know, jamming the songs out. So we kind of have to tweak them by lots of, you know, Dropboxing and emails and, you know, stuff like that. So it's a really arduous, you know, somewhat tedious process. But at the end of the day, I like it because it still allows us to collaborate and everybody has their say and can put their stamp on it. You know, I'm not an iron fist kind of band leader kind of dude to where I'm going, no, this is where the song is going, this is how it sounds, and that's it. You know, everybody has a chance to kind of throw in what they want. And, you know, if it sounds good, we keep it. If it doesn't, then we go back to the drawing board or you know, or we just nix it altogether. It's pretty democratic.
Okay. Now, this, I've heard the entire album, and I have to tell the fans that I enjoyed it. It was different. It was refreshing. It was something that, you know, isn't cookie cutter from the other bands. How did you decide to go into that sound? I mean, it's different from your previous work.
All of the sounds that you hear on Nothing Left to Lose are, you know, just a wide array of influences coming together to create, you know, what we do. And I think it's best described, you know, I just call us a rock band. You know, we're a hard rock band, maybe bordering on metal in some places, but that's just kind of what I, you know, kind of describe it as, because, you know, once you start labeling with subgenre after subgenre, then it gets too confusing for people, and they say, well, what the hell is this band supposed to be then? You know, so I mean, we have, you know, if you want to get into the subgenre tag, we do have, you know, elements of stoner rock, we have elements of metal, we have elements of, you know, very heavy elements of 90s alternative going on, post-hardcore, melodic punk, you know, a little bit of just hard rock, and just lots of different things, man, some blues, you know. That's the one thing that was important for me when we started, you know, A Gathering of None. I wanted it to be a culmination of all my favorite kind of sounds and all the kind of bands that I dig coming together and doing one thing. And, you know, everybody, I've heard comments, you know, you're going to have people that, you know, that don't necessarily like what you're doing and stuff like that. And I've heard, you know, comments, oh, it sounds too 90s. It sounds, you know, too nostalgic. And, you know, I don't personally like the band Ghost, but, you know, no one is breathing down their necks about them being nostalgic. You know, to me, those guys sound like Dead Ringers from Blue Oyster Cult, but nobody seems to be too upset with them about doing that. So I don't think, you know, the nostalgic part is not a bad thing for me. You know, because it signifies a time when music was better, you know, because there's a lot of music out now that's just not good. And I think we give people that are still looking for those kind of sounds, that nostalgia, if you will, I think we fill that void for them.
Well, no, I can completely understand that. I mean, as you know, and as listeners know, that I do, you know, a horror show. So
right.
In that world, it's a lot of retro, you know, a lot of films are going back to the 80s slasher genre, if you would. And what I see with your music, you know, yours is retro, if you would. It's going back and gathering the good parts of the music, because let's face it, late 80s, the music got really off all the way.
I agree.
You know, I mean, I see your music just going back and gathering the strong points and carrying them forward.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, people can argue all day about whether or not we sound modern, and, you know, I tend to think that we do, because we're taking those elements, like you said, from the past, and we're putting our own spin on them. And it's, you know, because some people, you know, I don't know why, but some people, like one of my favorite bands of all time is Thin Lizzy. And, you know, there's some elements of Thin Lizzy in the A Gathering of None sound. We got the, you know, twin guitar harmonies and stuff in places here and there. And, you know, but we repackage it a little bit, put our own stamp on it, make it a little heavier so people that are into more modern stuff can get into it. And I don't see anything wrong with it. Like I said, I don't understand why anyone would, you know, not like a band like Thin Lizzy or something like that, but, you know, they may not. And, you know, like I said, we kind of fill that void and we make it a little more modern sounding for them to where they can maybe sink their teeth into it and go, oh, well, you know what? They say they're inspired by Thin Lizzy. Let me go back and revisit that band. And, you know, through us, they may get turned on to a band like Thin Lizzy or, you know, Corrosion of Conformity or the Foo Fighters or Chum, you know, or Only Living Witness, you know, all bands that we love. So that's a win-win for me.
No, no, I completely understand. I mean, like I said, that's what it sounded like to me, and obviously you agree with me, so damn, that's a nice one. What do you think is the biggest change that you've seen in the music scene? I mean, you've been doing this for quite a while, so I'm just curious. You know, a lot of people complain that, you know, with digitized music now, it takes away from the artist, but, you know, I'm curious, what do you see in the biggest change in the music scene?
I agree with that to a degree.
I gave you a tough question.
No, no, it's okay. I agree with that to an extent, because previous bands or whatever, we would have, you know, stuff leak somehow before it was to be released. And, you know, there were several instances where myself or, you know, Goolsby would, you know, have to get in touch directly with the people once we found it. And have to get in touch directly with the people and say, hey, look, you know, you're kind of taken away from our livelihood right now because, you know, we're not on a record label. We're doing this ourselves. You know, you're taking money out of our pocket, essentially. And if you're a fan of the band, you know, please take it down. Come see us live. We'll talk. We'll hang out. Everything will be cool. But, you know, I think the big problem with, you know, the digitized music and everything now is, just, you know, people getting a hold of it before it's available, you know, officially. And that's why we were kind of really, we waited until the last minute to put up our new album on Bandcamp, on our Bandcamp page, because we knew, you know, that there were people out there that were, you know, potentially going to leak it if they could and or if they wanted to and stuff like that. So I remember, you know, we released that digitally on August 7th. So I remember, you know, at like 11:45 p.m. on August 6th, I was, you know, finally uploading all the files, you know, to the Bandcamp site, and by 12 o'clock, you know, midnight, it was live, and it was, you know, officially released. But I think one of the biggest changes, other than, you know, the digital forms of music and everything that are so easily accessible now, which, you know, like I said, is a good thing and a bad thing, because, you know, if people want to hear your record, they can just go to Bandcamp or iTunes or, you know, Reverb Nation and download it, and they have it to put on their iPod or something like that, which is awesome. But by the same token, I think there are people out there that still like having the physical copies, or they like having a limited edition vinyl pressing of an album or things like that. I'm one of those people. I think another thing that has changed, too, is easier for bands to tour and do their thing now on their own and do everything by themselves, but it's also harder because now with the advent of more technology like, you know, YouTube and Last.fm and all these different things, people have 24/7 pretty much access to any band they want. You know, they, oh, right, I've never seen that band live. I could just go on YouTube and check out some concert footage of them, you know, which may or may not, it doesn't do that for me. But, you know, it may or may not deter that person from actually going to see them live because they can just sit, you know, at home and, you know, watch a full live show of this band that they want to see on YouTube or something like that, which is fine. You know, I think that's awesome that medium is available for people to be able to do that. But at the same time, I think it kind of takes away from the actual experience of being there, you know, which, and I think a lot of people are just, they want that, you know, they want that such immediate, you know, gratification so quickly now. They got to have it right then and right there that they don't, there's no anticipation. There's no anxiousness in going to see your favorite band live now. And I think that takes away from it a bit. But, you know, again, like I said, it's easier for bands to tour now because there's so many that you can get in touch with venues and talk to promoters and things like that. You know, you can do that via Facebook, you know, Reverb Nation, you know, Indie on the Move. All those resources are awesome. But at the same time, you know, I'm not saying that that's not hard work because it definitely is, and I've done it, you know, but at the same time, when, you know, when I was in Blitzkid years ago, the first tour we ever did, we did it essentially just by still, you know, the old-fashioned way of just, you know, sending out CDs and calling up clubs and talking to promoters, you know, on the phone and stuff like that. And you still have to do that to an extent today, but, you know, it's definitely not as, you know, widespread, definitely not as difficult as it was, you know, even 10 years ago. So, I mean, it's a double-edged sword because you have all this cool cutting-edge technology and all these different ways that bands can be seen and heard, you know, but at the same time, all of that technology kind of makes people lazy about seeing and hearing those bands. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I totally understand. I mean, for me, I mean, yeah, I can hear the music right away and I can then, you know, do the show and I can get it all set up. But for me, I get to go see a band live. I get to interact with the crowd. I get to see how the crowd reacts to the band and vice versa. I mean, it's, you know, it'd be like watching a film festival online. It doesn't
exactly.
work.
You
got to have an interaction. And
yeah, man,
just,
I mean,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, that's a big part of it for me. Like, I love, like you, I love going to see bands live because, like you said, you know, there's a kinship with, you know, people there, unless they're being douchebags, you know, but there's a kinship with the people that are there, you know, that to see that band that you went to go see because you're like, man, this is my favorite band or one of my favorite bands, and this dude over here, and, you know, we had a beer because we liked the same band, and, you know, it's cool, man. It's like, you know, it brings people together, and, you know, you don't get that sitting at home watching a concert, you know, from that same band on YouTube. You don't get that kind of vibe, you know.
No, I mean, like I said, I totally agree. That's why I always tell fans, you know, it's one thing to listen to the music, but you have to go to the concert because sometimes that song that just played on that album you have, there's going to be a variation. They're going to add in an extra chorus, or they're going to do something a little different sometimes. So you're
exactly,
going to miss that
yep.
spontaneous that happens.
Exactly.
And,
you know, I mean, that's the whole
yeah.
part of it, spontaneity, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, just to purely mention about, you know, the digital form of the music, I miss the, you know, and I grew up, so this is going to date me really well, I grew up with the album covers, you know,
right.
where the album covers had all that beautiful artwork on them that could still almost, like, tell a story. You know, today it's an MP3. It doesn't tell you anything
right.
except the band and the title.
Exactly, you know, And I think that's a good point because I think it was Rob Zombie at one point a couple years ago. I was reading an interview that he had done, and, you know, he kind of touched upon that same deal. You know, he's, you know, he grew up in the, you know, 70s, early 80s, as, you know, I did as well. Oh, more the 80s than the 70s because I was born in the late 70s. But, you know, I grew up with all these awesome album covers. You know, the first one that ever struck a chord with me was, you know, Appetite for Destruction from Guns N' Roses. You saw that, you know, and I'm not talking about just the five, you know, the five heads on the cross.
Right.
I'm talking about the actual album, you know, artwork. And I was like 11 at the time, and I was freaking out because, you know, for one, there's, you know, nudity on there, and then it looks to be like something kind of brutal went down, and, you know,
yeah.
and I'm just like, you know, and then, you know, then I saw their video, you know, then I saw Welcome to the Jungle, and I'm like, I have to buy this record because the album cover's cool, the band looks cool, that song was good. So,
yeah,
Rob Zombie touched on that, though. He said, you don't have that now. You have kids coming up to you, you know, going, oh, hey, man, I bought your album off iTunes, and, you know, and that's cool and everything, but I can't sign, you know, he said, I can't sign an MP3 for you. He was like, where's the collectability? Where's the, you know, where's the feeling that you got something from your favorite artist, you know, and that you can keep, you know, forever? That you don't have that now, and I agree with you, man, like, I was probably 12, 13 years old when I started listening to, like, really, really heavy music, like, you know, bands like Obituary, Death, Napalm Death, Deicide, stuff like that.
Right.
I was starting to get into my death metal phase at that point. And, you know, as you know, you probably came up around the same time I did. You saw those album covers, and you're like, oh, my God, I have to hear that band. You know, so a lot of times I would just buy those albums just based on their album covers. You know, thank God I ended up liking them. But I know exactly what you mean.
I mean, you know, if someone said the band, you know, Death, Scream Bloody Gore, you and I would definitely know what they're talking about because we see that artwork. But now it's somebody has an MP3 of it. I mean,
that's
pretty sick.
Right, exactly.
Well,
it's just, you know, the artwork. Go ahead.
Yeah, before I let you get off the air here, because we're just about out of time for the interview, you know, do you have any information for the listeners out there to where they can find the new music? I hate to say it that way, but, you know, are you guys got a gig coming up? Where can we buy the album?
Yeah, you can buy the album at agatheringofnone.bandcamp.com, and you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thegatheringofnone, reverbnation.com/thegatheringofnone. We also have a Twitter. It's twitter.com/officialagon, and that's where you can find us, man. You know, everybody, please check out Nothing Left to Lose and give it a shot. I think it's got something for everybody on there, and you know, we appreciate the people that have stood behind what we're doing and the people that have been turned on to what we're doing recently, and you know, the people that will be. It's all good, man.
Well, before I let you go off the air here, I'm going to let you know the song that we're going to be playing next is, or do you know the song? Did I tell you the song that I chose?
I don't believe so.
Okay, well, the song that I chose was Always the Hard Way.
That's my favorite song
about
from
that
the
song
record.
Before I play it?
Yeah, you know, interestingly enough, my drummer Chris, I've been friends with Chris since I was 13, and I'll make this as quick as possible, probably about, you know, almost 20 years ago now, we were both, you know, kind of still, like, listening to, you know, heavier stuff that would come out, you know, via, like, Roadrunner, Century Media Records and stuff like that, and we happened to buy the CD by a band called Chum, and the CD was called Dead to the World, and it was great because it was heavy, but it was kind of like that, you know, kind of like alternative kind of metal, like that Helmet and Handsome and Quicksand and all those bands were doing at the time, which we liked. You know, we were still, like, you know, all about our death and thrash metal, but we were starting to change a bit. We were getting a bit older and broadening our horizons. So that band always kind of stuck with us as being great and completely underrated, and they just kind of fell off the radar after that album. Well, little did I know that Chris was actually friends with John Lancaster, that band's singer, through Facebook, and he directed me to his Bandcamp page, where he is, unbeknownst to me, he has put out two solo albums, which are kind of the same, you know, kind of along the same lines as Chum. They kind of got, like, an alternative, you know, metal kind of feel to them. There's kind of some dreamy kind of, you know, ambient stuff going on too, but it's just good, you know, it's just good ass-kicking rock and roll, man. And I was like, wow, that's cool that he's still doing it. So I reached out to him, you know, on Facebook, and I said, look, you know, I said, you're a huge influence to us, you know, and I have this song that I think you'd be perfect on. So I sent it to him in demo form, and he dug it, and so he agreed to sing on at the end of the song. He's actually doing the harmony vocals throughout the song as well on the choruses. So, but at the end, it's he and I were kind of trading off. So that was cool. We got to actually work with someone that we looked up to a lot and that inspired us early on. So he was super cool about it. Had the tracks to me in a couple of days after we spoke and, you know, agreed upon what he was going to do. And it was just really neat because, you know, here was someone that we looked up to and admired, and it was just like talking to you or, you know, talking to someone else, you know, one of your friends or something that you've known for years. He was just super down-to-earth, super nice guy. And everybody, when you get a chance, check out Chum, Dead to the World. It's a great CD. And also check out John Lancaster's solo stuff. And check out this song because, like I said, it's my favorite one on the record, and it's probably one of the heavier ones on the record, too. Maybe that's why I like it.
All right, man. I thank you for being on the show, and we're going to get this played in just a moment, and you be safe out there, okay?
All right. Thanks for having me, brother.
All right. Bye.
Later.
All right. This is our segment number two. We're going to start off with Gathering of None with Always a Hard Way. We had Tracy Bird on the show, and I'll try to get back to finishing off that first segment with all the information. So do enjoy this.
Learn from your mistakes.
Second segment there, We started off by Gathering of None, and they played the song Always the Hard Way. Definitely find them on Facebook. You heard from Tracy, you can find them on Bandcamp. Definitely buy the entire album. You know, they're going to be going out on tour probably soon. So definitely go out to the shows, because, again, at the shows, you get that live experience. You get to see how the crowd interacts. A lot of times you got the CD there. You got something for them physically to sign. Next up was Red Rain. Again, Facebook, Verber Nation, and their actual website is www.redrainrva.com. So you can definitely find that out. Their album, Chasing Shadows, is now available. You can find it on Amazon, for example. Then we had Grayson Manor, Bye Bye to Love. Oh, by the way, that Rain, Red Rain was not that way, was a song, excuse me. The next one was Grayson Manor with Bye Bye to Love. Here's a hard rock band. Again, Ben, who's hard rock, metal, gothic, in that sense, even some punk. I will play it on the air if they contact me. So anyway, Grayson Manor was, you can find them on Facebook and also at www.graysonmanormusic.com. They're a band from Atlanta, Georgia. Then we had Robot Flex with Bury Me With My Guns On. Perhaps a pro-NRA track, I don't know. Maybe NRA would like that song. Anyway, and I have no problem with the NRA, and that's not this kind of show, but hey, if you want to have them, go for it. Their official site is called the www.theofficialbowflex.com, and that's spelled B-O-B-A-F-L-E-X. You can also find them on Facebook, and they are from Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Now, they got a couple tour dates here, so I'm going to throw them out to you right now. Actually, tonight they're playing the Double Door in Chicago, Illinois. Then they're going to be on the 20th, Valhalla Music Hall in Indiana. I think it's Moonseed. You can look it up. And then on September 7th, they're at Brighton Bar at Long Branch, New Jersey. So definitely look that up. And see, we got a little time here on my clock. I can go back and tell you what played in that first segment. So we, before Tracy called, we were going to talk about the band Soil. They just released their new album, which is their sixth album, called Whole, and that's W-H-O-L-E. It was just recently released on August. I jumped there, folks. Excuse me. They released the album last year. It's basically coming on the one-year anniversary, and they're doing a phenomenal job. The music is just incredible. They're going to be at September 19th, Parkview, Fort Wayne, Indiana. And then, this is where my eyes jump, they're doing a European tour in 2014 that starts in October. So sorry about that. Next up, we had their information is soiltheband.com. You can find them also on Facebook and also on Verber Nation. So definitely check that out. And let's see here. Then we had Hellion. Just got in contact with the band last week. It was really great that they said, hey, you can play the music, so that's what I'm doing. Play the song Run For Your Life. You can find them at hellion.us. You can find them on Facebook. They're touring very soon. Upcoming dates here, I've got October 2nd. They're at the Whiskey in Los Angeles, California. And then also on October 19th, they're going to come to the East Coast and play at the legendary Dobbs in Philadelphia. So definitely check that out. Also, we have the band Elliot's Keep. They're kind of like a doom metal from Dallas, Texas. And you can find them at elliotskeep.com. You can also find them on Facebook, so definitely check that out too. And let's see here, we're moving into our third segment of the night. And we're going to have some nice bands playing in this one. We got Dope Lord, we've got Fangorn, Bloody Donation. So this is going to be a pretty intense section. So I hope everyone enjoys it. And here we go. We'll be right back.
better love that place you'll never find. Some better love than the one where you were born. Right.
All right. So that was the end of that third segment. As people can notice, the show has gotten a little bit more angry, a little bit more with some doom metal put in there, and just getting, you know, the show nice, loud, and nasty for everybody. So, first off, we had Dope Lord. You can find him on Facebook at DopeLord666. Also at the Bandcamp site, and is just known as Dope Lord on that site. Next was Esoteric. Basically a nice doom metal band there for everybody. You can find them at Esoteric at UK.net. You can find them on Facebook. You can also find them at their label site, which is seasonofthemist.com/band/esoteric. And that's just spelled E-S-O-T-E-R-I-C. Also, just to put this out there, and it knows way in advance, but I'll give it out later too. November 28th, they are playing, you know, November to December. They got that's a tour name. Then we have Budapest, Romania, and they'll be there with Tankard, which is just going to be a drunken mess. The Church of the Pungent Stench, oh, how nice for holiday season. Bloodway and Lynchgate, which has been played on this show. I think it was last week we played them. Next up was Fangorn. You can find them at fangornband.com, also on Facebook. They're from St. Petersburg, Russia, and they're playing here September 8th. They've got the Bunker 13 Fest at La Pagia. Hope I said that one right, but you can all find it out. And again, the band is spelled F-A-N-G-O-R-N. Lastly, we had Bloody Donation, which, by the way, if you look it up online, you get some really weird things that come back, you know, if you go and do that. But you can follow them on Facebook. Their main site is bloodydonation.com, and you can also find them on Reverb Nation, Bloody Donation. Check them out. Buy their music. Really, really check them out. Next up, we've got our segment four, and this one is going to really appeal to a lot of the black metal fans out there. So do enjoy it, and we've got to give out some tour date information after that, so everybody should be fine. All right, let's play this now. We'll be right back.
Right and not a day, receive it today.
Segment of the night, and I'm going to try to say these first couple bands' names, but sometimes I'm going to butcher them badly. So first off, we had Necrovation. You can find them on Facebook on the Necrovation Death Metal, and also at their site, necrovation.com, and I'm going to spell because I probably butchered the name, N-E-C-R-O-V-A-T-I-O-N. Let's see here, September 19th, that's a Friday, they're going to be in Stockholm, Sweden with Murder Squad. You can look it up on Facebook and find it all about it. Basically, I think it's in a place called the Baser Strand. So again, that's in Sweden. So people say, well, Baron, why are you telling us this? Simple. I'm getting information that, you know, from fans and bands all over the world. So I play everything that comes to me. And if you're from, you know, Sweden or wherever else, I play because it's in that and this goes everywhere. Then we got Hillos, you know what, Hilotheron, I think is how you say the band's name. They are a Christian death metal band. Yes, you figure that out, get back to me on it. So you can find them on Facebook, and I'm just going to spell it easily for everybody. H-I-L-A-S-T-H-E-R-I-O-N, and it ends with official. You'll find that on Facebook. They're from Vasa, Finland, and I believe in this year they're also going to be releasing a new album, or have released it, I should say, depending on where you are. Their release date could be for Europe, it didn't really state. The album was called Signs of the End. So maybe they're talking about the end times, Christian band. Okay, you get it. Next was, I should have told you the name of the song. I forgot to mention that. The Christian death metal band, their song was Taken from the Darkness. And before that, we had the other death metal band, and theirs was Death Salvation. Well, look at that. It's all religious to me tonight. Then we had Extortal from Athens, Greece. And you can find them on Facebook and also on Reverbnation, and it's E-X-O-R-D-I-A-L. So you have that, and their song was called Fight. So we got it. Salvation from Darkness with a Christian band, and they're all fighting. I like this already. This is good. Next we have up, it was Fog Lord, and the song was The Fog Lord. Not too hard to figure that one out. You can find them on Facebook, Reverbnation, you know, Bandcamp. There's a lot of sites for them to check the music out. And let's get some tour dates down here. That's what everybody cares about, the tour dates. So we know that the All Bad Things tour going on right now with Motley Crue and Alice Cooper. On Friday, they're going to be in Bristow, Virginia. Then August 23rd, they're going to be in Canton, New Jersey. The 24th, Mansfield, Massachusetts. 27th, Allentown. And on the 30th, they're coming to Homdale, New Jersey. Next up, at Dingbats in Clifton, New Jersey, we're going to have on the 20th of this month, Everyone Dies in Utah, The Paramedic and Illuminate Me. Next up, on the 21st, we've got, let's see here, if you're out in Boise, Idaho, you're going to have Full of Hell, Unhollow, and Cop's Corpse at the Shredder. Next up is on the 22nd. We've got a lot of things happening on the 22nd. Gears is playing with Agents of Aggression, Pool of Thorns, cool name, the Backstage Championship Bar in Trenton, New Jersey. Also, we got Dire Peril at the Starlight Lounge in Sacramento, California. People remember we had the music from them, I think, on the first show we played. Also on the 22nd, we got the ADHD Entertainment Summer of Metal 2014 with Fueled by Fire off of Noise Art Records. We've got Ex Mortis off of Prosthetic, Crown of Fire, a lot of bands all playing Malone's Bar and Grill in Santa Ana, California. The 22nd also, we've got Midnight at Ace of Cups in Columbus, Ohio. Also, again, 22nd, I'm telling you, depending on where you are in this country, you're going to see something. Norma Jean at Ray's Golden Lion in Ridgeland, Washington. Just also noted, we have Aerosmith and Slash. They're on 8/22, they're in Dallas, Texas, and then on 8/25, they're at Phoenix, Arizona. Just want to throw this out, a friend of the show got a gig on the, let's see here, October 3rd. It's a band called Trouble Lewis. Check them out. They're on SoundCloud. You can also find them on Facebook. I don't have any music up there yet. There seems to be a problem with some of the demos. They're going to try to, I guess, maybe redo them and get them to the show. They're going to be playing with Blistered Earth at the office in Hamilton, Montana. Again, that is Trouble Lewis. Just also put it out there, on 9/23, we're going to have Rotting Christ with I Am To Me and March to Victory at the Backstage Championship Bar in Trenton, New Jersey. All right, we're going to be playing our final song of the night, if everything goes right. So it's going to be Fagagor. Oh, I screwed that one up. Sorry, folks. Fagagor. Excuse me. We just played that. This one is K. Growl, Silent Whisper. Sorry about that. And this is off of, you can find them on River Nation, Growl Grove. It's free on French. So you can just find them. Again, it's K. Growl, Silent Whisper. This is the final track of the night. Everyone enjoy it, and here we go.
Oh, my God, it's nice, son. Just a little bit of a Colin Dyson.